This is Bragging Rights, a show all about college football, where the conversations are lively, the topics are trivial, and the hosts are semi-knowledgeable. And now, here are your hosts, Madison and Pierce.
Welcome into another edition of Bragging Rights Week 3 Preview, and wow, what a stinker of a week we have in front of us. But we are going to make lemonade out of lemons here. We are going to salvage together something a little bit different for everybody out there. We are going to do our normal 10 games picking and then, you know, see how we did at the end of the week, that kind of thing. No, what we're going to do is we actually are going to have it a full family affair tonight. We have joining us tonight, the other Browder kid. I'll get to introductions in a second. So we're going to go through and we're going to actually talk about our top teams of the season so far. I know we're 2 weeks in, but it's never too early to reassess some things. And then we're going to do some picks and just kind of make our way around the board. Hopefully we have some good variety and maybe even some head-to-head type matchups here. And we are going against each other on a couple of these picks just to truly live up to the name of Bragging Rights. So let's get into it. Before we do, I need to introduce my co-host. My name is Madison. I'm joined, as always, by my brother Pierce. Pierce, how are you?
Doing very well. Weird week this week, but you know, when these weird weeks come along, those typically end up being the wildest, craziest week. So, you know, something different. I tend to lean towards more the favorite route just by nature. And this week feels like a little bit more. There's some live dogs. So I'm excited to jump into some of these matchups, some weird ones on the book as well. And I think we're going to have a pretty crazy week. It doesn't have the featured matchups that we would like. That'll come next week. That's really kind of when everything kicks off, is next week. And then from then on out, we're pretty much going to have banger after banger. So this is kind of the calm before the storm, but I bet it gets pretty chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think that this could be a chaotic week. It could also just be chalk. Who knows? But it does feel like a little bit reminiscent of 2007 with maybe some changing of the guard or even just some not necessarily clear-cut favorites as far as I'm kind of looking at the board and I'm kind of like, I mean, I think I know what's going to happen, but anything could. So before we get into our picks and everything, we do have one more person to introduce, our other brother, Hank. Hank, how are you?
I'm doing well. I hope everyone's good out there. This is second time on the show, actually. Madison forgot that I was actually on once earlier, but this is kind of a redemption story. So that time I probably wasn't in the most well frame of mind to be talking football at that point as a sophomore in college, probably 5 days bender going on. So I'm in a better state. I've been watching as much of the football, even the crappy games. And it's gotten worse this week as y'all have mentioned. So, but definitely some good ones out there. Conference play in SEC, a couple of good games that I'm looking forward to. So I'm excited to talk it through with you.
Just FYI, as Madison knows, your picks are going to be out there. You're now going to be judged. No hiding behind with, you know, your locked book on your phone. Now it's real.
I know. And the problem with that is when I'm talking through with my buddies on text chains and everything, I'll give out 5 picks and I'll take 5 and I'll win my 5. And the 5 that I give out are all losers. And then I get crapped on by all my friends. So hopefully this time around giving out my picks won't be a bad juju on them.
But you always got to pick what you take. That's what Pierce's whole thing is, apparently. Supposedly.
I do. I do. When it comes to easy peasies, I do. When it's the 10 games, I take that like a just random pick 'em, you know, pool where sometimes on those pick 'em pools, this is embarrassing to admit, but I'll just throw in picks just blind on a Tuesday when the lines come out, and I'll never go back and change it. And it's funny because you go back in, and half of the games I've actually, you know, or a percentage of the games that I've actually bet are the exact opposite of what I took on those Tuesdays. And that's one of the challenging things about doing these on either Tuesday or Wednesday is the easy peasy aspect. You know, I need a full week to kind of let things marinate and get things going. And I'll flip flop on a couple games from time to time. So, it makes it a challenge when you do it on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
It does, and the line changes, and that's one thing I was thinking about with some of these things we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what the line is or the over-under is right now. We're recording right now on Wednesday, September 13th. So if you're listening to this Thursday or Friday, probably not Thursday, but probably maybe Friday, Saturday, things might have changed tad bit. So just keep that in mind as you're going about your gambling, if you do partake in such things. All right, well, let's just go ahead and jump in here. I was going to ask you guys what your thoughts are so far on the season, 2 weeks in and everything like that. But I think that we can kind of base it, you know, our thoughts and everything around what we're about to talk about, which is I want to just do a quick pulse. Obviously, the AP Top 25 is out and running, but, you know, that's also based on things preseason. I want to throw preseason stuff out the door. I just want to talk about our top 10 teams so far going into week three, eyeball test, you know, how we would rank it based on, you know, how teams have played, finishes, things of that nature. So let's jump in. Let's do a reverse order here. Actually, no, that's a lie. Let's start from the top because I think the top is going to be a little bit more the same. And then down towards the bottom, I think things might change up. So let's start off with our number ones. Not a ton of explanation here, but I am going to go with the Florida State Seminoles as my number one team so far in the season. They've got the most impressive win. I know Texas just went to Alabama and won, and that was impressive as well. But the way that Florida State did it, how they did it, all the hype and everything, I think that I have to roll with the Seminoles here. I picked them to be in the playoffs preseason. I'm standing by that. I think that they're absolutely going to be there after they take down Clemson next week. Have a cupcake this week. I don't see anything change with that. Florida State, my number one team in the nation. Pierce, what is your number one team in the nation according to your AP poll, not the other AP poll?
Listen, there just aren't enough data points out there right now to, you know, specifically say from a resume basis that a team should jump a Georgia. So I've got Georgia at one. Certainly another, you know, slow week this week against a South Carolina, and another, you know, couple good weeks from a Texas and a FSU could certainly get them to jump Georgia. But this early, they've earned that respect, that they've earned that number one spot. But those two are definitely nipping at their heels.
All right. So Pierce has Georgia. I started off with Georgia at the top. I thought to myself, can't do it. I haven't seen them be totally impressive yet. Hank, who is your number one team in the nation?
So I went similar route as Pierce. I kind of had my list here, top to bottom, is a little bit of both of what you kind of both were going over there is kind of some in here I have in there based off what they got going. So what they've gotten through week two. But a lot of that also I've kind of mixed in my thoughts, AP style. So I still think Georgia's number one, no surprise there.
Homers.
Yep. That's as much to surprise to our listeners. I'm keeping it there. Yeah, like Pierce said, until they're knocked off, two-time defending champions, can't really say
well,
much else there, but
to be fair, this week could bolster that if they go out and have an impressive conference win versus South Carolina. That could certainly bolster that ranking. But I'm going to roll with another more impressive win so far in the season as my second team in the nation, and that's the Texas Longhorns. Listen, to have to go to Tuscaloosa to knock off Nick Saban is no easy feat, even if they've been down the past few years. This is still, like I said, a good Alabama team. I think that they still have every opportunity to win the SEC West and be in the playoffs. I think Texas is just legit. I think Quinn Ewers is legit. And I think that they, again, another team that I had, not to hype myself up too much, but another team I had in the college football playoff preseason, and they've backed that up through two games. Pierce just gave me a look. Note for the audio, Pierce just gave me a look because you know who he has in his playoff preseason? The Clemson Tigers. So I'm going to roll with Texas as my number two team in the nation for those reasons. Pierce, who's your number two?
Texas, same as you. Thought about another team here that has an impressive win on the resume, but in all honesty, on the road at a place like Alabama, I think is going to win the West, so it makes that win a little bit more impressive than the other team that is yet to be named. I've got Texas now. Knowing the Big 12, hating Texas a lot, Texas can easily slip up now. So Sark's got to figure out a way to keep them motivated and keep them in the game, their heads in the game, and not to get too big-headed. But I've got Texas a clear-cut number two.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly the type of team historically that would slip up. You know, they've got Wyoming this week. That's certainly historically something they might trip up on. And obviously they finished the year with Texas Tech. That's another one. And they do have to play Oklahoma, who looks other than SMU, notwithstanding, looks decent too. All right, Hank, who's your second team in the nation?
I'll keep the trend going. I've also got Texas in there. Kind of echo everything y'all said. I think that Alabama win, even though I think Alabama isn't up to their normal standards this year, I think that that's probably my most impressed win of the season so far. And then, like Pierce hinted at, I do think there's one other team that's got a good win up there, but I just think that Texas win is just a notch above.
All right, so we all roll with Texas as our number two team in the nation. My number three, the Georgia Bulldogs. For the reasons y'all talked about, they just haven't done anything that leads me to say, hey, they're not a top five team in the nation. I just, like I said, because of those two wins resume-wise, I have to give the nod to FSU and Texas. But Georgia looks like, other than they're having sleepy starts, still looks like they're pretty much back and reloaded defensively, and a couple of injuries notwithstanding, look really good. And we'll see this week with them taking on South Carolina at home. It's the first time that we're really going to have to see Carson step up, and you can't be like, hey, it's a cupcake. You know, you're going to have a team who's going to want to give you your best. And Shane Beamer, not necessarily the best coach in the nation, but I could see him giving it his all this week. So I'm interested to see what happens there. Pierce, what is your third team in the nation?
You kind of hit on it right there. A lot of these top teams that maybe are elite, maybe aren't, that we, you know, kind of crowned that going into the season. I feel like over the last 5 to 7 years, there's more of a tendency from them to sleepwalk through games, not want to show anything. They know they've got the guys to go in there and take care of business and win. It might not be super impressive. it might not be a massive blowout. And certainly this team fits that criteria, similar to Georgia, and that's Michigan. They're without their head coach right now. Say what you will about, not having the head coach for a couple games. You still got the coordinators and everything, but that definitely does make a difference in my mind, at least for a few points. And they've taken these games almost more so than Georgia, almost like preseason. It's almost like they've come up with they've met with at midfield with other teams and said, hey, let's just speed this up. Let's get out of here. Let's go have fun the rest of the night. There's no need for this to be a bloodbath. So, I got Michigan number three. I think they've kind of earned that respect. They've still got a number of guys back, and should be a formidable team here as the season progresses and they get into the meat of their schedule.
The Michigan Wolverines, first time we're seeing that on somebody's list. Hank, who do you have as your number three team in the nation?
I have the Florida State Seminoles. So that's kind of who I was talking about earlier. I think that they got that second most impressive win of the year, although I do think LSU, the team that they beat, was overrated at the time. I do think that was an impressive win, the way they responded there in that second half. Being at the game, even, it was seeing their fan base all hyped up and everything, I couldn't help but get swept up in the hype a little bit. And they had some impressive plays that really wowed me, and I think that they're definitely a better team than I thought they would be. And with that win, I think that puts them in there above Michigan as of now, with that big win.
Yeah, I totally forgot you're at that game. I'm jealous of that, because I was thinking about going down, had to work instead, and then was nervous as hell going into it. And I wish I had been there, because that was a fun one. That was a fun one. All right. Number four team in the nation, I have the Washington Huskies. They haven't shown, first of all, I'm trying to be a little different here than just going AP poll. Pierce just was like, well, okay, okay.
He's yeah, the one you're really the out. You're the social media crowd. That's what this is.
Listen, I play to the masses. I got the Washington Huskies. Michael Penix Jr., he has, every bit of what we've seen so far is every bit of a Heisman potential winner. The Pac-12 is a good conference. I'm a little worried about them cannibalizing each other, but I do think what Washington has going is very good. And quite frankly, I couldn't go with, I really struggled with going with a Big Ten team here, but there have been some sleepy starts and everything. So I went with Washington just because I think that they right now, if all things were to end right now and it would be like, okay, who do you think is better, Washington or Michigan? I think it's Washington. So partially because they just have a more elite quarterback. I don't believe in J.J. McCarthy. So I've got the Washington Huskies here. But like I said, I'm a little bit worried about, the fact that they do have to play Oregon. I'm not sure if they get USC this year, but they do have to play Oregon at one point. Washington State, who, obviously beat Wisconsin this past week. So right now, number five in the nation. We'll see if that changes. Number four. Pierce, who's your number four team?
I've got Tennessee. I think I'm kidding. I did that to see y'all's reaction. Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
I got one. I had to make sure I had to pause for a couple seconds there. I thought I was going to catch heat for that from you being bandwagon FSU fan, Madison, but I've got Florida State. Florida State, only difference, the only reason I don't have them, and they're probably going to jump Michigan because they're not, Michigan's not going to show anything in the next week or two until they get into the meat of their schedule, like I mentioned. FSU has the second best win. It's not as good as Texas. Texas went in and thoroughly beat Alabama on the road in a hostile environment against a team, like Hank said, that I think is better than the team that FSU beat. Now, FSU might have beat them a little bit more dominantly than Texas did, but it, you know, that was basically, and Hank, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard rumblings before the game and as the game was starting that it was pretty much a home crowd for FSU. So a home environment for FSU, even though it wasn't technically at home, versus a true on the road game environment like that is a little bit more impressive in my mind, and a team I think that will win the West over at LSU. But I've still got FSU in the four slot. Will be interesting to see if they can stay healthy. I think one of the only things that they're gonna could potentially run into some trouble this year is their depth. But FSU is a clear four and kind of, you know, a trending up stock, as I would say. They're going to keep going as long as they don't have a weird slip up week over the next few weeks. So they're easily going to crack my top three if Michigan continues to have performances.
For a second, I was thinking to myself, does Pierce have Austin Peay next? Because apparently that was like a national championship if you've got Tennessee that
and
high.
JMU, baby. JMU.
And JMU. All right, Hank, who's your number four team?
Rounded it out at four with Michigan. So, you know, I actually, to be honest, haven't seen much of Michigan's games this year. But everything that I listen to, consuming all the content I do and everything with college football, I'm hearing that while I was never a fan of JJ McCarthy, I think that, I've been hearing that he's looked better, in some aspects and some, his arm strength has actually somehow improved from what I've heard a couple podcasts say, and he's gotten some better decision-making going right now. Now, granted, obviously he's not playing anybody big right now, so we'll see once he gets to a better competition, but it's again, kind of that similar thing to Georgia once they got to go out and prove it. But for now, until they lose, I got to have him in that top five. So I have him in that four spot right now.
I love it. Both of y'all have the four teams I picked in the playoffs, so. I kind of want it to end right now so I can be right. All right, let's talk about our number five teams. They're the team that right now is just sitting outside that playoff picture. If, like I said, if it were to end right now, I've got the Michigan Wolverines. Don't believe in JJ McCarthy. I think it's funny because everybody's giving Ohio State flack, and I think for good reason, for having slow starts and for, you know, only beating Youngstown State 35-7. Well, that's exactly what Michigan did last week, and I don't remember who they played, but it was a cupcake. So, They had the same type of result. The difference to me is JJ McCarthy is a more proven quarterback and Ohio State's dealing with a quarterback problem. So spoiler alert, Ohio State's not on my top 10. I don't think that they are, you know, going to run the table in the Big Ten this year. I'm not sure that they're going to have a top 10 finish. So I like Michigan the best of the Big Ten. For that reason, you at least know what you've got. And I think that they get the best of Penn State later on down the season. At this moment, anything can change, obviously. But as of right now, way too early prediction. I think Michigan gets the best of Penn State, although that game is in Happy Valley. So we'll see. But yeah, they're my number five team in the nation. They just haven't done anything to show me that Penn State's better than them. So I have Michigan kind of gave away my number six. But that's number five. Pierce, who's your number five?
This is going to sound like stupid logic, but I've got USC at five. They haven't done anything to sway or to drop them, I guess, negatively in the rankings or drop them down in the rankings, because all they've done is go out and handle business and score a lot of points and blow teams out. I know they haven't faced much competition yet. I'm still skeptical about this defense. But Caleb Williams, he had the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He's putting up ridiculous numbers, and he hasn't even played in the fourth quarter, I don't think, in any of the 3 weeks or 2 weeks. So I got USC. They've done nothing to make me drop them down. So give me the reigning Heisman Trophy winner five.
I like it. Hank, who's your number five?
I also have USC. So pretty much echoing what Pierce said there.
Did you look at the AP poll when you were going off this?
Not as I was doing it, but I have been looking at it earlier in the week and stuff. So I knew the basic top 10. I couldn't remember exactly where everyone was, but yeah, I knew I probably have all the teams. I haven't looked back at it, but I probably have all the teams in the top 10 in some order. But yeah. So USC, same stuff. Heisman, they, you know, they're going to go out there and score points. Defense is iffy off of week one. I didn't really watch too much last week, but I think that they're going to give every team a run for their money there with that offense. So,
well, I mean, there's a reason why we're basically, you know, we're tempted to base this off the top 25 is because that's what we're seeing on the schedule, or what we're seeing, obviously. Now, you know, if you throw out the resumes so far and you don't have, you know, preconceived notions, but we've got those. We've got biases as humans. So I get that. Maybe a little bit of a switch up here with the last five as we head into that. My number six, I already alluded to it. It's Penn State, the Nittany Lions. So far, I've done nothing but get it done. I love Drew Allar. I think he's pretty good. I do think Michigan's a little bit better, which is why I give the nod to them. And that's probably just because of how they came into the poll, less so about how they've played per se. But I do have the Penn State Nittany Lions here. And I think that they, like I said, have done everything they can to get this done, and just miss out on that top five spot. But wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the day, they're the Pac-12 or Pac-10 champions. So that's my pick. Pierce, number six.
Same, Penn State. Drew Allar has looked solid. Certainly looks like he, you know, could be the big difference maker there at in Happy Valley, as well as, man, this team just looks different than they have in the past. Now, I do worry about them. James Franklin has really struggled in the big games. They play. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Madison. I think they have Michigan at home. Ohio
Correct.
State on the road. So we'll see how they fare in those two big games, man. That's going to be huge for Penn State. And if James Franklin could get over the hump, but this team has all the pieces in order to be a playoff team. And that's why I have them at the sixth slot.
All right, Hank, number six.
I'll throw a little curveball at y'all. I got Notre Dame.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just, I think that they've been good in recent years, but they haven't had that quarterback that really propels them. And now with, I'm blanking on his name.
Sam Hartman
from Wake Forest. He's actually played better than I thought. I actually was on Navy to cover that first game, and maybe that's why I have him up there, because that's the one game I've watched, and they absolutely dominated. Their running backs, what's it, Etienne or Etime?
Estime,
whatever his name is. He's a beast. I mean, that man, there's no tackling that guy. And that's, I don't even think he's their one. He's their one or two. They have a 1-2 punch. They even had a third guy out there that Navy game running all over him. So granted, that's Navy, but still, I think that they now have the offense to really put up some points. I think that they're better than they might be getting credit for in this top 10. So I got them in the sixth spot.
I agree with you, Hank. That's why they're number seven on my personal poll. I think that Sam Hartman looks really good so far. I think that switch up from him being at Wake Forest to Notre Dame, he's great change for him. I think that offensively they looked super in step with each other. That's great. People are overlooking going to NC State last week and getting that W. I know that it was a weird weather situation, lots of stops and starts. Maybe that benefited Notre Dame. Not sure entirely, but a really just wet, mucky game. And Notre Dame gets that done. I think that's a big deal. They have Ohio State coming to South Bend in a couple weeks. I am so excited for that game because I think that they're going to really make a statement with that win that they're going to get over the Buckeyes. So I have Notre Dame at number seven. I do think they get tripped up somewhere. I think that they have to play USC too soon. So maybe one of, you know, that could be a loss. Not entirely sure, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if they do run the table. As we know, Notre Dame does basically have to do that with them not having a conference championship. They basically have to run the table in order to get into that playoff spot. But I think that they're making enough waves that they're already, you know, on people's minds of, hey, if they go undefeated, what could really happen here? So I have Notre Dame at number seven. Pierce, who you got?
Ohio State. They haven't done anything too impressive yet. But keep in mind, I know this is a bottom of the barrel Big 10 team, but they did have to play a conference team on the road in week one. I believe it was on the road at Indiana.
Correct.
Didn't look great in that, but listen, they're breaking in a new quarterback. And if you recall a couple years ago when CJ Stroud was making his, one of his first starts as, the true quote unquote starting quarterback, he struggled at Minnesota and people thought we need to switch this up. This ain't working. And what did he do? He had a prolific career at Ohio State and nearly won a Heisman. And, you know, you could make the case that they were the second best team in the country last year. I think that's certainly that's who I would take as the number two team behind Georgia, and they're right there, 1B. So I've got Ohio State. Listen, this team is going to open things up. McCord ought to get better. He's got too many weapons not to do so. I do worry a little bit about their offensive line, but defensively, this might be their best defense in gosh, 7-8 years. And offensively, you can trust Ohio State to get things going. So figure out that offensive line and Ohio State will be back up in the top 5, 4 or 5 in no time. Got to take care of business in South Bend though.
I am just not sure that they have everything they need this year, but we shall see if that quarterback play gets better. We know they've got the targets and the threats at wide receiver. So it's just a matter of the quarterbacks getting more confidence and hopefully more skill, because we haven't seen that so far. All right, Hank, who's your number 7 team?
So I actually also had – I made a little switch here. So I'm actually going to go Penn State at 7. So, yeah, like y'all said, Drew Aller's been having a good season. I think he's good. They're really just a incredibly balanced team, in my opinion. They don't do anything really bad. And like Pierce said, that James Franklin, kind of chokes in the big games. He's been known to, but, I think this week is a good little ramp up for an Ohio matchup. And then they get a little couple cupcakes in going into Ohio State here in next month. But I think that they're such a balanced team right now. It's hard to not put them in that 7 spot over Ohio State right now.
Agreed personally. There. All right. Yep. So Penn State finally makes it onto Hank's board, a little bit higher on Pearson Mines. All right. Number 8 in the nations. When I finally have the USC Trojans, they've done everything that they need to do so far. I just, the defense still is a huge, huge, huge sticky spot for me. Question mark for me, as Hank shows us his dog, who I've heard him shake a couple
he's
of
being
times.
Annoying as hell.
I'm sure he is. That's why my dog's not in the room with me right now. I can hear him whining out there. So I've got the USC Trojans. Caleb Williams is great. Probably going to win the Heisman again. But I just am not sure with their defense. And talk about another guy, another coach, just like you were talking about, Pierce, with James Franklin. Lincoln Riley is known to choke in some big moments. So I'm not sure anything's changed with USC, but I do think that they've done everything so far to stay up in that top 10. So I've got them at number 8. All right, Pierce, number 8 for you.
Number 8, Notre Dame. Good win last week against NC State, especially given the circumstances of a long weather delay. This team is definitely throwback, but man, that element of having an actual quarterback who you can trust to distribute the ball and to put up good numbers. And if you have to rely on him, you feel pretty good about putting the ball in his hands. There aren't too many teams that can say that. And that's always a luxury to have that type of guy. And this is the first time they've had this really in the last 15 years, in my opinion. I guess maybe go back to Brady Quinn, I would say. I know they had DeShone Kizer in there. This guy just feels different, and they're always going to have a good offensive line. They recruit well at that position. They develop really well at that position. Estime is, whoever it is running behind that line is going to do pretty well, but this guy is putting up some good numbers. And some of the receivers have surprised me a bit, which is definitely a nice change of pace for Notre Dame. They need some more weapons on the outside. And defensively, they're always going to be pretty solid. So I got Notre Dame. We'll see. I think that game next week is going to be very interesting. That's why I have Ohio State and Notre Dame back-to-back here. Whoever wins that is definitely going to move up in my ranking. So I've got Notre Dame with a chance next week to catapult a couple spots up.
Absolutely. That's a good place for him. Great place for him. Not necessarily in the top 5, but not done anything to not be, anything outside of 10, in my opinion. Hank, who's your number 8?
My number 8 is Ohio State. I agree with Pierce on this. It's a team breaking in their quarterback, but I can see them coming up or getting up for the big game here. And Notre Dame, like Pierce was talking about, and if they can pull that off, then, you know, they're right back in that conversation of the top four or five teams. So, I think I just had to put Ohio State there, and they got to go out and prove it.
Underrated for Notre Dame, getting both Ohio State and USC at home. This could be lining up for one of those years for Ohio State to make a run back at the playoff. They do have Clemson late in the year, but man, those the two biggest games are at home.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said when I was talking about it, Notre Dame is super exciting for me, and that's hard for me to swallow because I'm not a big Notre Dame fan, but we'll see what happens. Another team I'm not a big fan of as an FSU Seminole is the Miami Hurricanes, and that's who I have as my number 9 team in the nation so far on the season. Now, I understand in the AP poll they're 22, and that's because they were unranked prior to the season, but I'm throwing out what they did the last few years. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what has happened so far in the season. They win their first game 38-3 over Miami of Ohio. Then last week at home, they beat Texas A&M, who looked like everybody was getting ready to say, oh my gosh, like this Bobby Petrino thing is really working. They win that game 48-33, and I mean, they don't really play anybody else until they go to North Carolina second week of October. And then they don't, I mean, then they play Clemson back-to-back weeks, but then they don't play anybody again until Florida State. So there's three games they could potentially get tripped up on, but I think only 1 to 2 of those are losses. I think this Miami team's going to finish in the top 15. And as far as the eye test right now and resume tests, they are one of the most impressive. So I'm going to go with the Miami Hurricanes as my number 9 spot. Tyler Van Dimes, as they're calling him. Pretty sure he trademarked that too. He's going to keep balling out. So I like Miami, this Miami team this year, which pains me to say, but I got to roll with the Canes. All right, Pierce, number 9.
Washington. The Washington Huskies, Michael Penix and company, continue to be dynamic, continue to put up a lot of points and put up a lot of yards and stats in the process. I think this is a team that could fight for a Pac-12 championship. You know, so certainly some things have to go their way, but they have not done anything to dissuade me that thinking they could do so. I think you're seeing that the best QBs in the country are out west, and this is one of those such teams. Now, you know, defensively, definitely a little bit undersized. I'm not sure how they're going to hold up against other teams in the country. But offensively, they're as good as they get. And with some of those with those two wideouts outside, man, this is a formidable team and ought to be able to get to that Pac-12 championship if they continue to play well and stay healthy.
All right. A little bit too late or a little bit too low, in my opinion, but we shall see. All right, Hank, number 9.
I also got Washington. Okay. Not much else to add to that. Pierce hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
Number 9. Washington.
Short, straight to the point. Love it.
You haven't watched much Washington, have you?
No, I haven't. I mean, I know
that was. I haven't seen anything.
I watch. Well, I watch the highlights each week. I watch the highlights each week, and so I see them on. I see them their offense on the highlight reels. I know about Michael Penix. He had another great game last week. He threw for what, like 400 yards and couple scores, so I know he's a beast. I don't know much about the rest of their team, to be honest, so I'll just say that whatever Pierce said is probably right, but well, I know that they're a good offense. So
go. Yeah, I mean, it does benefit to go after Pierce, who's a little bit of a stat nerd. All right, last but not least, the number 10 team in the nation, based on what I have seen so far, not necessarily where I think they're going to end up, not necessarily what they did seasons prior, it's the Colorado Buffaloes. Story of the season so far. They were Pierce, you can shake your head at me, you can roll your eyes, I don't care, but here's the thing. They were supposed to, according to Vegas, 3.5 was their win total for the season. They're already at 2. They're going to win again this week. Yes, I do think they're going to get tripped up a couple of times this season. We haven't seen Deion in a super, super big moment. But Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are the real freaking deal. And their running back, who I can't think of their name, he's good as well. I just think Colorado is going to continue to be the storyline for so many people. I think the voters love that. So I see them potentially, you know, continuing to rise up. And I think as far as what I've seen so far, they've done everything they need to do to be up there. So it's why I don't have Ohio State. The slow starts. They should be doing more. Quite frankly, if I'm being honest, Georgia probably should be a little lower on my list because you need to go out and you need to exceed expectations to make it up onto a list like this so far in the season. And I just think Colorado has looked pretty good. I know it's hard to have to have dealt with the first week and the loss to the Colorado Buffaloes for your TCU Horned Frogs, Pierce, but There's a reason why that happened, and I think Colorado is pretty dang good this year. So the Dion effect, the prime time effect, is real. And so we'll see what happens within the rest of the season. All right, Pierce, your last pick, your number 10 in the nation.
I'll throw a little bit of a curveball here, and I actually wrestled with two teams, ironically, both in the same state. I've got the Oregon Ducks. You know, I don't care if they're a bad team or not. When you put up 81 points on offense, that's an incredible game. You know, I don't care who it is. It is what it is. 81 points is something you don't see all that often. And say what you will about or say what you want about Texas Tech. That is a very tough place to play, especially at night, having experienced that before. Just very tough. And it's not like Texas Tech is an awful team. I know they lost to Wyoming. Wyoming's not an awful team either. They're a pretty solid team in the Mountain West. And they had to go on the road, and it's a sleepy game. And they got up 17-0 quick. Now, certainly worry about Texas Tech's defense, but this isn't about them. Oregon went on the road, put up 38 points, beat Texas Tech, and this is a team that has a quarterback now. And I think has every chance, like I said, with Washington. I think those two teams, you know, have every chance to upset USC this year and be fighting it out. So I've got Oregon. I wrestled with Oregon State. I'm very biased on that team. I love that team. I think you're seeing that Clemson is really the root of the problem when it comes to some of their quarterback play, and DJ is benefiting from going out west. Oregon State's looking to build on a great year last year. So State of Oregon is pretty solid right now, but I've got the Ducks slightly edging out the Beavers.
All right, there you go. I like it. I was kicking myself realizing I don't have the Ducks, but I do think that they make their way up there eventually. All right, Hank, who's your last team in the nation?
You know, I had someone last else in there. Not last team in the nation. Norfolk State.
That's a totally different room.
Listen,
now.
No, I got to tell you, the reason I'm a little distracted right now is Mom just texted me. They're on their way to Athens right now. And you got to know, Atlanta's just kind of like the metaverse. Like, stuff happens here that you're like, that doesn't happen other places. And she texted me and she said, have you heard anything about the crash on 285? Didn't realize that they were going to Athens tonight. Well, yeah, I have heard about the crash on 285. It's right by where I live. It's eastbound. All lanes of traffic are closed because somebody hit a truck carrying chicken. And so there's chicken all
carrying,
over the freaking interstate. So I was
carrying chicken, like live chicken?
No, they were dead, but they had been slaughtered. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not sure
feathers everywhere.
What the story is there, but she was texting me about that. So I got a little distracted. All right, Hank, who's your number 10 team in the nation?
I am actually going to switch from my original list here, and I'm going to go Ole Miss.
Really?
I think their win last week was... It was pretty damn impressive. I think Jackson Dart is actually going to be a guy. He made some great decisions, especially that one there at the end. He made a great play to kind of propel him to that victory. I think Quinshon Judkins, he's kind of been sleepy so far, but, you know, he showed what he could do last year. I think when he wakes up, that's going to be a pretty fun offense, pretty tough team to kind of keep up with if they're able to keep points off the board for the other teams. I think Lane Kiffin is always one to – he doesn't shy away from the big game. So I think if they get a couple more big wins in the season, and I think they can end up there toward the top five or six there if they keep it rolling.
All right, we shall see. Another coach that can potentially poop his pants in big moments. They do have showdown in Tuscaloosa, not this week three, but I think it's week four. So it's upcoming. So we'll see. But I do like that pick, and I appreciate you switching things up because Pierce went pretty damn chalk. So thing to know about.
Whoa!
Listen, you don't have anything major.
Are you kidding me?
You don't have anything major shake up here. You just shuffle things around.
I got Oregon.
Yeah, but
I could have. The chalk would have been Alabama.
Oh, that's right. Wait, hold on. Do we realize what we just did here? Not a single one of us put Alabama in our
top 10. That's who I had 10, and I was like, you know what?
I did the same thing, Hank.
I'm actually
Alabama
shocked
at
myself because I would have put Alabama in there. Well.
Yep. Love it.
Listen,
changing of the guard.
History is not being taken into account with this. It's just what you've done so far in the season. What have you done for me lately? And Colorado's been more impressive. What can I say? All right. So that is kind of the pulse of college football to us so far in the season. We're going to switch now. We're going to talk about the week of games that we have upcoming. Going to do something a little different. We're not going to go through, like I said, and do each, you know, pick 10 games and talk about those games. we're just going to kind of work our way through, weave our way through. The first thing I want to talk about here is your underdog pick against the spread. So not necessarily to win, but somebody who's going to cover a spread, whether it be a big one, whether it be one that you think is a little wonky. Pierce, are you smiling because you know where I'm going with this or because you've got something good?
No, I'm just excited. I know your picks. I'm excited to see Hank's.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump in here. Pierce already knows mine. We went through it before Hank logged on. I have the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers plus 29 at Ohio State. Ohio State has had some sleepy starts, and I think this could be – I don't think they're going to win, obviously. This is against the spread, but Ohio State's had some sleepy starts. Western Kentucky has had some pretty good they're undefeated right now. They play in Conference USA. It's not like they're anything, world beaters or anything, but they are a team that is potential to kind of muck things up a little bit for you and keep it closer than you might care to have happen. So that's kind of where I was going with it. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of, upsets this week. But if you are looking at something like that, 29 is a lot for a team that hasn't covered a spread yet. So it's more of an indictment on Ohio State, less of a vote of confidence for Western Kentucky. But I when I saw that, it jumped right off the page for me. And I was like, oh, I love, love, love that spread. So I have the Western Kentucky heel toppers. I think I don't know what they say, but they have a weird mascot too. So points for Western Kentucky. All right, Pierce, who's your underdog against the spread?
Well, a couple of things. First off, I'll be the simp here. I think Alabama probably finishes top 10 when all is said and done this year.
Yeah.
Just got to add that in there.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
They ain't a top 10 right now. I couldn't do it. But
any chance also, I get to leave them out of the top 10, there's not too
also,
many chances you get.
Out of spite.
Seize it.
I'm probably going to bet Ohio State now that you have Western Kentucky, but I love that pick. That is a bold take. I love it.
That's a rude-ass move.
29 seems low. I don't know, man. I'm not putting it on my easy peasies, but I like the boldness there. That you're certainly going to get kudos for that in my book. Also, going against what you
said. Hold on. One second, really quick. One sec. I know they haven't played nobody, but so far on the season, Western Kentucky is averaging 449 yards total, 46.5 points. Defensively terrible, but that doesn't matter because I think Ohio State is going to poop the bed again. So just to justify it.
In my gambling brain, that this is one of those that they seems like they bring the line down. Normal years, they're up. That's like a 38-point spread, and it's one of those where they adjust. Everyone jumps on Western Kentucky because Ohio State's been slow and not scored a ton of points, and they come out and they score 48.
All right, 48-7. You big-brained people, go ahead and give me your picks then. If you guys are so much smarter, Pierce, right. who's your
one last thing? I do have to say, I do think this could be a week where there are some upsets. You have a lot of games that are within about a touchdown or less, and that screams some upsets there. That's a sketchy line with the team going on the road that's favored by 5 or 6. My first favorite play from the underdog. Is Houston. I could be kicking myself. Maybe I'm so pessimistic on TCU that I 7.5, you're getting the hook. Keep in mind, this is Houston's first Big 12 game. They're going to want to come out big. I think you could almost chalk last week up to A, JT Daniels just having a stellar performance, but B, a look ahead spot. Looking ahead to getting a primetime night matchup against the Horned Frogs, the team that went to the national championship last year. This is your first spot to play a Big 12 type team in conference play. I mean, you can't get any more excited and amped up for this if you're a Houston Cougar. You're getting the hook, so I love that hook with Houston. And I'm definitely going to be sprinkling some money line here. Could TCU come out and win by 28? Sure, because I think at the end of the day, Houston's not the greatest of ball clubs. But man, this is Texas at the end of the day. I know this is a team that's going to be feeling like the underdog. TCU's done it a number of times against a Texas or some of those other Big 12 programs, and it means the world. So give me the Cougars as my favorite underdog, and definitely sprinkle some money line on that as well.
Pierce is still feels some type of way about his TCU Horned Frogs losing in the first week. He's given up all hope.
Listen. It's why I didn't have Colorado in the top 10, because I think that Nebraska ain't good. Nebraska's probably going to win 4 or 5 games this year. Maybe. I don't think they get to a bowl anymore. And TCU looks more like a 5-6 win team. They look bad.
Yeah, not great, but we'll see. All right, who's your underdog against the spread, Hank?
So I was going through And I see all these big numbers, and so I tried to pick one that was a little more interesting because I do think that some of these big numbers will get covered for sure. I mean, shoot, even our Georgia Bulldogs, I'm even a little worried about that 28 or whatever it is at. So I tried to find something that was a little closer to a single digit that spread there. And I think I'm going to go with one that I actually like as maybe a little upset too. And I hate the line, but Missouri, I think it's +5. That's who I'm going to go with, OK State. I think, they haven't looked great through 2 weeks. They haven't scored a ton of points, but, you know, I think they're top – correct me if I'm wrong. I think they're like a top 20
they're
defense
like
right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they get – getting Kansas State at home is big. I think that they can keep it close, keep K-State kind of under wraps. They're allowing only like less than 60 yards rushing and less than 200 yards passing. Now, granted, they're playing MTSU, and I don't even know what SDAK is. I don't know. I don't remember that game. But still, I think that they're a good enough defense that they can hold them to that 5 number, and being at home, I think that they have a chance to pull it off. So that might be a little money line sprinkle as
okay.
well.
So you've got Mizzou.
Madison, do you know what SDSK is?
SDSK?
SDAK.
Arkansas. Something.
San I was going to say San Diego. I don't know.
AK is Arkansas. I thought they played like Southeastern Arkansas or something.
It is. South Dakota.
That's what I
Coyotes.
I can't believe you didn't. I know that from March Madness. So.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I was thinking regionally. Why is South Dakota coming out to play Mizzou? That's what I got to know about that. All right. So Hank likes Mizzou +5. Interesting. Okay.
I hate that line, though. I will say that.
What?
Yeah. You
I
know,
hate that line.
That line's not great. It's already moved down to 4.5 from what I'm seeing.
See, I don't know if are we going to take more underdogs or are we just capping it at 1?
You can, if you've got more, you can roll. We do have upset alert,
I'll
which is just straight up.
I'll just rapid fire real quick. They're not my favorite, but these are just.
Hold on. Are you not going to stop? Are you not going to include this in your picks at the end?
Maybe not.
Your picks at the end. This is your put your money where your mouth is. Your best bet for your underdog against the spread. Real time podcast production. Everybody's getting a little peel behind the onion. let's talk about upset alerts. This is straight up somebody that you think is going to potentially get a win over a favorite. I have the Florida Gators over Tennessee in the swamp. I think Hank is very viscerally responding. I think that might have been his pick as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I had it all teed up to crap down all my Tennessee friends' throats.
Well, I'll let you do that. You can turn it more personal. I have some experience with this game. Last year, I got to attend this game in Rocky Top, and it was a big game. Game day came. Everybody was fired up, and I was watching the Tennessee fans do the freaking gator chop in the third quarter, and then they almost let Florida come back and win. Now, I realize Florida had Anthony Richardson, and Graham Mertz, so far through 2 games, is not Anthony Richardson, who really wasn't that great either, but he's not necessarily as mobile or as good of a passer, as strong of an arm as Anthony Richardson. But I will say, this is the type of game that I would be sprinkling money on Florida because it's a rivalry game. You've got a team with its back up against the wall, and I think that they are going to come ready to play. And I think Tennessee had a sleepy start versus Austin Peay. It was a narrow win on their part. Not only that, they apparently had an all-players meeting afterwards to kind of have a, like, what the hell are we doing, guys? I don't think that bodes well for the locker room. Sometimes people rally around that. Sometimes it can kind of be like, indicative of bigger things. I just don't think this Tennessee is as good as they were last year in the swamp, fired up crowd, going to want to get right, backs up against the wall. I like Florida this one. Tennessee defense still not very good. So that's why I've got them to get that win. I'm going to bypass you, Pierce. Let's go to Hank. Hank, talk about yours then. If you've got the same game, you know, give your reasoning.
Well, I got a couple, so I can pivot to one that I actually like.
Okay.
I actually had another one starred, but I was going to I did want to talk about that one, too. So I don't know. Same thing. I think that Joe Milton is lost a ton of confidence last week against a crappy team, and now he has to go on a road against into the swamp against a Florida team that, yeah, they look bad, but I think that they can at least hold their own defensively and stop Milton. And I think Graham Ertz can, you know, he does look crappy, but, you know, I think that's one where at home, a big game, he can get up for, and they definitely have a chance of winning that. But if I'm skipping over Pierce, I'll go into my gosh, I got Boss over here ripping my arm off. And
if you're hearing,
I was going to say, do you want to introduce our fourth member of the podcast?
Yeah, he's being absolutely absurd right now. I'm about to have to lock him in the other room.
For my record keeping, are you keeping Florida over Tennessee?
No, I got another one. I can go with my other one that I actually had starred. If we want to jump Pierce, I can just go into that, or Pierce can go ahead.
Maybe you'll take Pierce's.
So I was actually going to go. I actually had BYU over Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
Now that's one of those where I can also see this being Arkansas coming out and winning by 20, but I think that they have a real chance of, you know, giving Pierce over there having a reaction to my pick here. I think that
Dad ain't gonna like that.
Dad ain't gonna like that.
Nope.
Why?
Why's that?
Well, here's
my
question.
Arkansas.
Is that
he loves Arkansas? All right. Well, then I love it even more.
Hold on. Is that game in Provo?
No.
It is. No. Okay. It is not. Well, sadly, if it was, then I would really love it. But I mean, I don't know. That's why I said I kind of hedged it out of there a little bit, with saying that I could see them losing by 20, but I can also see them, you know, KJ is a beast there, and he's been having good games, and he's a difference maker and everything. But I really think that, I don't know. I just have a weird feeling. It's really one of those gut things. I just have a weird feeling they can keep it close. And if it comes down to like the last quarter, the last drive or something, that I can just see Arkansas choking it away. So I don't know why it's, I don't have a ton of stats and reasoning like Pierce probably would behind his pick, but it's one of those I wrote down as one that jumped out to me. And then I also had another one.
Okay.
If we want to just list off the last one. This is actually my favorite one, but it's one that's not maybe as exciting to most people. I think JMU, it's a small dog, but I think JMU beats Troy this week, and I'm excited actually to watch that game. I think that'll be a fun game to watch.
Well, stay tuned for that one, because I might talk about that one later. Wow. If that game was in Provo, Hank, I would love it. It scares me a little bit that it's at Arkansas, but I agree with you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
Sam Pittman.
Arkansas, it's not it's not that bad.
No, it's not.
Place to play.
I think KJ Jefferson has flashes of brilliance, but Sam Pittman's the kind of coach that can really befuddle you in moments. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Pierce, who is your upset alert?
I already said it. I already hinted at it. It's Houston. That is my favorite. TCU, excuse me. Houston upsetting TCU.
You're going for them for underdog and upset?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to do that for Missouri, but I wanted to switch it up.
No, I'm doing
Missouri's probably my favorite upset.
I can go in a couple others here, but Houston, I just think this is a huge spot for them. Now, kind of like Hank said with Arkansas BYU, I and why I respect the pick at the end of the day, you know, TCU, I could see a world where TCU just outclasses Houston. I mean, Houston lost two of their best players in program history last year with Tank Dell and I'm going blank on the quarterback's name. It'll come to me here soon, but TCU lost so much, man. Houston is +7.5 on at home. First Big 12 game. I like them to potentially pull off that upset. Thought about Missouri. The thing with Missouri is, man, this line opening up at whatever it did, 6.5, you would have expected that to get to 7. And then that's when I would have leapt on Missouri. It's gone down. It seems too public to me when you look at it. I like Missouri's defense. I like their D line. I mean, you saw what they could be last year against Georgia, really kind of pushed them around for a good part of that game. But God, Missouri's offense is just so bad. Kansas State has a pretty good offense. With the quarterback coming back, having led them to a Big 12 championship last year, the offensive coordinator's still there. So that one did sketch me out, but I do like that as an underdog. And then I do have Florida as well. Fun fact here. So I heard this on another from one of my favorite follows when it comes to college football gambling. And Madison, you might like to hear this. Since 1970, it was either 6 or 8, Tennessee has only been favored like twice in the swamp.
Wow.
And won. It was something ridiculous. They're now 6.5. This is the largest that they've ever been favored at on the road at the Swamp. This seems like one of those things where Florida can stop the run, because that's the first and foremost thing. Tennessee's a little bit less consistent throwing the football this year. If they can establish the run, if they can get those first downs, they're going to send guys deep and they're going to hit them. They're going to throw so many, they're going to hit them. If Florida can stop the run, which they did a decent job against Utah, I like this Florida team to stick around and just kind of keep it close. So be right there on that edge of that and maybe, who knows? Like I said, Florida dominates Tennessee in these spots. So I got Florida.
So just for your official record keeping, you're going with, if you had to pick one, it's Houston over TCU. But you,
yes, 100%.
Okay, 100%. Cool.
100%.
All right, let's move into our over-under picks. So just one pick, or multiple if you have it, but your picks for, hey, if you're going to place a bet on a total here, here's where I think the value is. I have over 47.5 in the FSU-Boston College game. FSU might cover that themselves. They've been putting up a ton of points. And I think that BC, even though it's the red bandana game, I don't think they're going to be able to stop FSU. And the fact that if they can get going a little bit on offense, I like it even more, obviously. So I think that 47.5 isn't high enough for how well FSU's playing and how they're not one of those teams so far that's going to take their foot off the gas. So I like that one. And like I said, I think that if BC does rally a little bit, this is going to be easy money. I do have a bonus one for you. That is over 48.5 for the South Dakota State, Oregon State game. Another one where Oregon State's been playing really well offensively. DJ Uiagalelei at home. He's going to ball out. San Diego State is nothing to scoff at themselves. They can put up some points as well. So I think 48.5 should also hit. Didn't see any unders I loved, but who wants to play the under? We want to go overs, right? Even though the only thing that I think cashed for me last week was an underplay. So what do I know? But those are my two for the over under totals. Pierce, what about you?
My favorite one of the week is probably the over 57.5 in the Washington Michigan State game. This is a Washington offense that is very dynamic and ought to put up a good amount of points. And the way I see this, with this spread being around 16-17 points, I think Washington just needs to get to 31-35. Because I think Michigan State's going to be able to score 10-14. I know they're without a coach. I know that seems crazy. I don't know this 100% off the top of my head right now, but I would assume because of the whole scandal and everything that's gone on at Michigan State over the last week, I think that this is probably going to be bet under. I like the over. I like Washington to go in and score a lot of points. Hell, Washington could maybe get this by themselves. And that means I don't need Michigan State to score at all. But I do think Michigan State scores 7-10 points, 10-14 points, excuse me. That means Washington only has to get to 31-35. Give me that all day. So I've got the 57.5. They only got to get 40 to get that, and I think they will. Okay. I also have the under 59 in the UT Florida game. I think this is a lower scoring game. If I'm going to go ahead and put my my cojones on the line here with Florida being a potential underdog play, if they're going to do that, it's got to go under the 59. This seems a little bit too high for me. I see this being even if Tennessee gets to 30 and wins, I think if they get to 30, I think you're looking at a 14 point win and they cover. I don't see a way that Tennessee or Florida gets to 30. That would get the over a 31-30 type game. I don't see that. I see Florida getting a 17-20. I like Tennessee to be about 24-27. So give me the under in that one as well.
Okay. Hank, what about you?
So I actually kind of found myself liking unders today, which sucks. But looking at the board today, I was leaning toward unders.
Does it though?
What? Does it suck?
It does. I know the old adage is life's too short to take the under. But I've also heard a weird way of thinking about this. You're automatically winning at the start of the game. You're automatically winning if you take an under.
And yeah, but
go wrong for you.
But then also, there's in the over, you're always in it. Once it goes over the over under, you're out of it.
Yeah.
So there's you can think about it both ways.
It's more exciting to root for the over because it's like with every point, you're like, let's go. With every point in the under, you're like, no.
Although it's fun to root for, like, a big defensive stop is when you have the under.
That's
true. It's pretty exhilarating, I'm not going to lie.
Well, who you got?
Well, the funny thing is my favorite pick is an under. I mean, it's Iowa, Western Michigan. I have under 42.5. Iowa, I was actually worried about them maybe scoring more points now that they have their whole contract saying he has to score this many points or whatever. But he hasn't proved that he can do it. I think they've scored 20 and 24 both the first games, two games of the season. Western Michigan, obviously, I think they've scored less than 20 points, and obviously Iowa's got a great defense. I think this is at most a 28-7 game, and that's well under. So 28-14 even gets you right there at that half point. I saw 42.5. I don't know what it's at now. It might be less now, but I mean, that's the obvious one that jumped out to me. And then again, I also like that Tennessee Florida under. I think that's going to be a 24-28 game at most. And then also like over the one over I did like actually when I was just skimming through the board earlier was the TCU Houston. So I think that could be a 34 game somewhere in the mid 30s.
What's that number right now?
That takes you right over.
63.
I saw it at 64.5.
Oh,
63.
Yes. Now it opened at 63. It's now at 64.5. Hank's correct. Oh, okay. I like that too. I had that on there, Hank.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the one over that jumped out to me. But my official pick, probably if I was picking one, I think that Iowa Western Michigan game just screams under.
Screams under. We love it. All right. Well, last but not least, we're going to go through and we're going to all do easy peasy picks this week. These are the places that we're going to be putting our hard-earned cash. And I'm not in the legal gambling state. So for legality purposes, I won't be. My friend will be. So let's hit them with our easy peasy picks here. I'll start first. I have Mississippi State plus 9.5 at home versus LSU. LSU's rattled. I think Mississippi State should be able to keep it close at home. Lot of it's loud. Home field advantage can be big there. And I just think that this LSU team was a little bit overhyped, whereas I think Will Rogers and company are going to be able to keep it closer. And they honestly haven't been that unimpressive on offense, despite the fact that they are changing, you know, obviously with Mike Leach gone. My second one, Hank, you hinted at it. I like James Madison plus 2.5 at Troy. They did take down Virginia last week. They're a good team, and I think that they're getting – I think I would take a money line on the road. Now, Troy's nothing to scoff at either. They are can be a formidable foe. I just think that James Madison's got the momentum and got the hype because of what they did last week. Plus, they're getting points, so give me those. And then last but not least, I have the Washington Huskies minus 15.5 at Michigan State. Michigan State, obviously no Mel Tucker anymore. He is out. It's a weird, it's not just, hey, you weren't winning games, goodbye. It's a weird divorce that they're going to be going through. So I think the locker room could be lost a little bit with that one. I think Washington balls out on the road. And I think Michigan State just looks lost. 15.5, a lot on the road. I think they cover it easily. So that's my three easy peasies. Pierce, what about you?
Boy, I've got a lot this week. Normally, this is pretty tough for me to come up with three or four this early in the week. I like to let them simmer in my brain throughout the Monday through Friday. Favorite one, I hate to be redundant here. I hate to continue to speak on this particular game, but I've got Houston plus 7.5 over TCU. That hook is a big deal to me. I would sprinkle a little bit on the money line, but the 7 and the hook is a very important number for me. I like Houston there. This might be actually my favorite bet of the whole thing. I think they're getting disrespected in the market is Oregon State minus 24 over San Diego State. San Diego State has not looked as good as we thought they would be coming into the season, or at least I did, at least as from what I thought. Oregon State just continues to dominate. I mean, they played Cal Poly last week and won 55-7. Cal Poly is, I don't know much about them. They're probably not a very good team. They could be. I don't know. That it was like a 24 spread. It was like 20, 23 or 21 spread. And I was thinking, what am I missing here? They continue to get disrespected in this market, probably because they're overlooked in the Pac-12 from a betting standpoint. So I love Oregon State minus 24. Now, it is at 24.5 right now. I know I'll get some eye rolls here. Buy that half, get it to 24 just in case for some insurance. Third play I like here, LSU minus 9.5 over Mississippi State. I think LSU just has the more proven coaching staff. They have the better all-around ball club. I know this is kind of a catchy spot for LSU because I don't think LSU's going to live up to the hype they had coming into the season, but I'm not sure that Mississippi State is as dynamic as they have been. Brand new coaching staff, very young coaching staff, doing new things with some different personnel. I think that's going to take time, and I'm not sure this coaching staff is going to get it. I like LSU. That's the one thing that that Brian Kelly seems to do well is to go in and beat the teams that he's supposed to beat pretty handily. I think this is one of those such spots. And then last but not least, because I have to get on this team because I've been against them the last two, and I hate it so much. But if Washington State could beat Colorado State pretty handily, I like Colorado to beat Colorado State in prime time. No pun intended there. They win this game by 31-34, maybe even 40 points. This could be an absolute blowout. Listen, the one thing about Colorado is you can handle them for a good team can take down this team for sure. But a very average team to mediocre team is going to struggle because they just keep coming at you and they've got weapons and they're going to throw it all day on you. So they don't even need a running game in this type of a situation. So I like Colorado minus 24, a couple sprinkles just to throw it out there. I like Arkansas minus 8, Missouri plus 5, and Florida plus 7. Those won't be official takes, but those are leans as of this moment.
Okay, there you go. So you got a lot there. Rapid fire at the end. Hey, if there's one thing I know from this podcast, it's that Pierce really, really, really likes Houston over TCU. He said it now 3 times. So put your money where your mouth is. Bet on the Houston Cougars this weekend. All right, Hank, what are your easy peasy picks?
I'm going to go one. Y'all haven't I don't know if we've really talked about it at all. Starting off, I'm going to go with Penn State. I don't know what the line's at now. I think it's at like 14.
I think 14 it's and under, a half.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not my favorite number, but I still like it. I think
that they're
I think that they're a balanced enough team. They got enough going for them. I think that they can keep control of that game. And I think Illinois has been scoring some points, but I think they can keep them under 20. And if they keep them under 20, I think they can get to that number. I think if they keep them at 2 scores there, they can get to that 14.5 number and cover. I like LSU actually. Now that it's gone down under 10, I don't know why, but that 10 number just makes me want to jump on LSU. I think they can get that done. Mississippi State, like Pierce said, what Arnett said, that they realized that they weren't throwing enough and now they're going to throw it this week. I don't think it really matters. I don't think that they're going to make that switch from 1 week and it really come through. And I think that LSU really will be able to get that done, even if it's like a 28-17 game or something like that. There's a couple more I had here. I like Missouri to cover. I think that, like I said, I think that they win. I like Duke over Northwestern. I think it's at 18.5. They've been just absolutely putting up points. That Clemson game was very impressive to me. I think Northwestern actually came back and scored like 38 on someone last week. But I think that doesn't matter in my mind. I think that the Duke comes out and impresses them again. I really like them. What's that quarterback's name? I'm not good with names.
Riley Leonard.
Yeah, that guy.
Top 10 QB in the country, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's one of the, yeah, he, I didn't know much about it. I didn't realize he was such a big draft prospect coming into the season, but he looked awesome, and he looked awesome again last week, even against a nobody. But I'm not even going to go there. I was going to say I think South Carolina covers. I think Spencer Rattler actually His defensive line is bad as hell. So that one scares me. I may not actually bet that one now that I'm thinking about it, but I can see them covering. There's a world where they cover. And then I think I have one more here. I'm rapid firing just through the board. There's one more.
It's not very rapid.
Yeah, no, sorry. Oh, and I do like I know Pierce isn't going to love this one, but I do like Houston to cover. I guess I didn't really mention on the underdog, but I do like that one. I think that 7.5 number is a bit. I think it's going to be a shootout where it's going to be, like I said, 38-34 or something like that. So that 7.5, I think is a big kicker there. I think that they cover.
Okay. Who you guys got in the backyard brawl this weekend? It's pretty much a pick 'em at this point.
Is it really?
Yeah, West Virginia's favored by 1 at home.
I haven't even looked at that
game. You know, I like West Virginia.
I do too.
I like West Virginia. I think they showed something against Penn State early in that. Obviously, Penn State had that crazy last play of the game, run the ball and try to beat the spread. I mean, West Virginia had covered that game. So that definitely might be skewing some people's opinions. But I was high on Pitt. Certainly, this is probably a spot where I have trouble with Pitt because they lay duds, but then they'll sneak up on people. So certainly this is probably a spot where I'm on the wrong side, but I like West Virginia in this one. I think they've got some players. I think Neil Brown's hot seat partially because of West Virginia probably not having the money to afford that buyout. I think Neil Brown is not even in the top 3 or 4 hot seats. And going into the season, I would have said he was 1 or 2. So I like West Virginia in this one. I think what they showed against Penn State and what Pitt showed against Cincinnati, I just like Penn State or West Virginia this one.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that at home, I mean, two pretty stinky teams. It sucks that the backyard brawl is not more in the forefront, but I do like West Virginia at home. Yeah, what's up?
Ooh,
can I
like
add one last thing?
Covering against Maryland.
Okay, Hank's got Virginia. Who's covering that? Maryland.
I like Virginia. Ooh. I think Virginia's actually a better team than people thought.
It's like 14.5 points, I think, right now.
Yeah.
They lost.
It's one of those.
JMU.
Yeah, but I think JMU's. I mean, yeah, but they were up by like 11 or something right before the fourth quarter. Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I think they looked better than that first week where they got rolled by Tennessee, but I can also see Tagovailoa. Whatever is Talia. Yeah, I can see him. He's one of those. I feel like week to week, he's either going out there and he looks like an incredible quarterback, and then sometimes he'll go out there and lay it down. Maybe that's just me, but I feel like every once in a while he goes out and throws a few picks and they looked bad. So I don't know. I just have a weird feeling that Virginia covers that one.
All right.
Last thing I got to add, Madison. Hank hit on it on the game, I should say. I think coming into this week, I would have leaned South Carolina. But let me tell you what, there have been some key indicators that have started to get me juiced up that this is a smash on Georgia. And that is, it seems like a lot of people kind of are trendy wanting to pick South Carolina, aka Hank kind of leaned that way. You got Kirby coming out with some crazy stuff. Saying,
well, you call me a squared?
Manufacturing. Yeah, for sure. Manufacturing some the crowd. He's challenging the fan base to come out. Georgia hasn't shown anything yet. Dejon Edwards is going to be back. I'm not sure Ladd is, but this South Carolina team, Rattler has been pretty solid. But this South Carolina team isn't even able to, on a handoff, get to the line of scrimmage before being hit, because their offensive line so bad. And Rattler is doing a great job of getting it out quick and early. I think he's averaging somewhere around 2.4 seconds to get the ball out of his hand. And Georgia hasn't necessarily been great against or rushing the passer, but that's because a lot of these teams are just doing little dump-off plays if they're doing anything at all against them in the first two games. And South Carolina can't rely on that. I think this is going to be a game where the dogs are coming after him hard, and I don't mean Georgia. I just mean the studs are coming after him, and this is one where they unload the offense. They open some things up. Carson Beck, Dejon Edwards coming back. I think the offensive line's challenged. I like Georgia to win this by 31 to 35 points.
I do think that, you know, this is the type of game where the sleepy start talk is all of a sudden put away because you are able to, you know, it's conference play. Everybody's been given, and I've done it with Ohio State. You know, you're like, sleepy starts. Well, yeah, of course you're not necessarily going to go out there and try to whoop up on Youngstown State. Get it done and get out of there. So I don't disagree, but I could also see South Carolina covering. Who knows? I'll be there, and I'm super excited. 3:30 kick. It's going to be nice and hot. But, you know, hey, I don't know why we've had two night kicks this season and it's been two bad teams. But, you know, hey, whatever. It is what it is. It is what it is. All right. Well, that's going to do it here for our week three preview. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are not following us on social media, we are at Braggin' Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Pierce holds down the Twitter. I hold down the Instagram. Posted a couple reels last week of real-time touchdowns. So that was kind of fun. Going to try to do more of that. And Pierce, of course, holds it down with lots of tweets, real-time reactions. And, you know, hey, I kind of rely on it because sometimes in the stadium I can't get scores up. So I just kind of look at Pierce's Twitter and go, oh, TCU's melting down. So other than that, if you're in the Braggin' Pod, pick them. Make sure you get those picks in. I think there is a Friday night game, the Miami-Bethune-Cookman game. So go ahead and get those in while you're thinking about it. And try to challenge me because I think I'm sitting at number two overall. Pierce is kind of down at the bottom, so we'll see. Are you smarter than Madison? Not are you smarter than both of us? That's going to do it here. Until next time, I'm Madison.
And I'm Pierce.
And I'm Hank.
Stay blessed, y'all.